Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hello, it's Becky Brown. I'm in for Steve Arterburn, and joining me is Dr. Sherry Keffer and Dr. Alice Benton. Hello.
Hello, ladies. How are you?
Good. I'm so glad you guys are here, and we have some great calls, but we can always take more, so you can call us at 1-800-229-3000. And, you know, one of the greatest things in New Life world is Club New Life, and we have so many people that support the ministry through monthly giving, and you too can join Club New Life. Just call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE, and we'll get you connected. But one of the benefits of being in Club New Life, other than just giving people a new life, get it, is that you get to have these free videos. They're short teaching videos by all the different hosts and then some special guests. And Alice just released a new one this week, and the title is called, Is Treatment Just for Crazy People? Do tell, Alice. Tell us some highlights of that video.
Well, there are a lot of misnomers, a lot of misassumptions about therapy, that it's only for people that are really far out there, when we're all so broken and we have areas within our character that are probably far out there. And we all need the help, and we can all benefit from the help. It's difficult, I think, for most of us to accept therapy, to make the call to get therapy. And it could be, therapy's just for crazy people, isn't it? I'm not crazy. Or the pride of, it's hard for me to see the areas in my life that need work. If the people around me would just get therapy, our lives would be a lot better. So I have to admit, all the times that I've gone in for therapy, and I usually go in for episodes at a time, it's almost always hard for me to return. And in part, it's my pride that keeps me from it, and my disappointment that I'm not farther along in my growth that as far as I would like to be, as far as I think I should be. So I think it's difficult for most of us, but if we will take the risk and do the work to find the right therapist for us, the benefits are just unbelievable. The healing, the freedom, the comfort, and the growth, and the way it benefits our loved ones. It's just invaluable to do.
You know, that's the reason why we have the New Life Counselor Network. Many of you know that I'm the director of the New Life Counselor Network, and I talk to counselors all across the country who love to be part of the network to help people as they seek help, because a lot of people will listen to the program or they'll read one of the resources and they'll say, you know what, I need somebody else to help me with this. And matter of fact, I interviewed someone who's joining the network in just last week, and I always ask the question, how did you get connected with New Life, or what's, you know, how's that connection? She said, back in 2004, my then husband had a sexual integrity issue, and no one else was talking about that at that time. And I called 1-800-NEW-LIFE and was directed to help. And unfortunately, the marriage didn't survive, but I did. And then I went on and got my master's degree and have been a counselor for many years. And now I want to give back being part of the New Life Network of Counselors. So I love just that full circle. But we, you know, all of us need help now and then. And I think that's the biggest challenge. And I know, Sherry, you've got a thriving practice, and you probably have those folks that are looking for help but maybe resistant. What would you say to somebody who is looking for help?
Well, I like Alice, I don't invite anybody to do anything that I haven't done myself. And I, you know, at times when I feel really stuck and I need help, I go in and talk to a counselor, because I hate the feelings of being stuck. And so, but I can't see myself. Y'all probably go, gosh, Sherry, you could probably see what's going on in your own life. I don't. We don't see our stuff. But somebody else, a fresh set of eyes, somebody that could spend a handful of weeks with us can help wake us up to stuff that we can do something about. And so I just say, jump in. The water's warm.
That's right. And I also tell people, keep going because it works. That's what we talk about all the time. So hold on. We're going to get to your calls in just a minute.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Thanks for listening. We're so happy that you're here and hope that we can help you somehow today, whether you call in at 1-800-229-3000 or you call 1-800-NEW-LIFE or you look at newlife.com or you watch us on YouTube. There are so many ways that you can get help through New Life, and we're just grateful to be able to be here to serve you. And right now, we are going to answer some questions, and we're going to start with we're going to talk to Ruth, who is calling us from Orlando and listens on WTLN. Hello, Ruth. How can we help you today?
Well, I'm wondering how I can be of support to my brother and sister-in-law. They have a son that is getting married in October, and he is gay. And we are a Christian family, and they're really sad about his choice. They don't agree with it. They love him, but it's really a difficult situation for them, and I'm just wondering what I can do to help them. Are there any books out, or is there anything I could say or do to be a support?
Ruth, do you live nearby, or like how do you connect with them?
No, they live up north, and I'm down in Florida.
Okay.
I'll be seeing them, though. They'll be coming down to visit in a few weeks.
Okay. Have you been invited to the wedding?
Yes, we all are. They have seven children, and there were seven kids in my family. We're all going to go to the wedding, yes.
Yeah.
And have you had conversations, like what are your conversations like now with your brother and his wife regarding just how they feel about this situation?
Sadness. She usually ends up crying, and just, you know, it's just because of the religious conflict, that's been so hard.
Okay. Sherry or Alice, what would you offer her?
I love that you have been able to hold her heart in her sadness. It's like so often we want to try to fix or make better what we're really grieving over. And I have sat with numerous couples in my office as a child of theirs has either come out to be gay or is also getting married. And the amount of loss surrounding all the dreams that you had as parents and what you envisioned for your child, and to have that look completely different, almost surreally different, comes with a price. And I think having people like yourself who can listen to her, Ruth, and not judge her, but just say, oh my gosh, I am so sorry. This is so hard. It is nothing like you had wished upon, right? From the time we put diapers on our kids, right? We already grow them up in our mind. And so your gift of being there for her to hear her heart is so valuable as she's processing her pain.
Okay. Yeah.
Do you feel like it's not enough?
I do. Yes. And I'm just wondering if there is anything, or if they could be doing any reading, or, I mean, that's not going to totally solve the problem, but for them to realize they're not alone in this, and it's just hard to discuss it even.
Ruth, a book that comes to mind for me is Mylan and Kay's How We Love, because it has to do with learning how to listen, to empathize, to validate without being too quick to fix or too quick to give advice, which is what most of us tend to do in tough situations. And advice is usually one of the last things that folks need when they're in this kind of pain. Sometimes it's exactly what they want, but listening to them first, as Sherry is describing, is what tends to be the most helpful. And then asking them after we've heard them out, we've let them express their emotions, asking them, what do you need or want from me? Then if they want advice and they invite it, that's the time to give it. It makes me think of the Bible verse, James 1:19, where we're told to be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger. And that seems like a great foundation to offer to your brother and to his wife in this situation.
There's a gentleman who's spoken at a number of conferences I've gone to. His name is Mark Yardhouse, but he wrote the book called Homosexuality in the Christian, A Guide for Parents, Pastors, and Friends. And so it might be one of those reads for you and for them as they're wrestling with this from a faith perspective to find some sense of support and encouragement for all that they're going through.
Thank you, Ruth. Mark is such a great resource. I've heard him speak before, too. You know, and we'll send you How We Love. I think, you know, that whole message of staying in relationship, loving, and staying connected is so powerful, no matter where you land on the issue, right? And we can't control what other people choose or do. And yet, at the same time, we are connected to each other, and we can share each other's burdens. We can share each other's joys. And so I'm praying that for you, Ruth, and for your brother's family. We're going to talk to Dave, calling us from Pasadena and listens to KKLA. Hi, Dave. Thanks for waiting. And how can we help you today?
Hi. Thanks for taking the call. Yes, I have a situation that is taking place in my marriage. It's really taking a toll on the marriage. I found out recently in 2018 that my now 28-year-old son had been molested by my wife's brother, and the molestation took place when he was 6, all the way up until he was 14 years of age.
Oh, no.
Oh. And I just recently found out in 2018 from my son that he was molested, and I was shocked when he told me what he told me. And as he was telling me, he was in tears. And my wife walked through the door, and he said to my wife, which is his mom also, "Mom, I'm sorry, I can't hold this from Dad any longer." And that's when he broke down and told me that he had been molested. And I grabbed him, and I was in shock, and he was in tears, and I hugged him, and I told him, "I'm so sorry, who did this molestation?" And he told me it was his uncle, which is my wife's brother. And I looked at my wife, and I said to her, "Did you know about this?" And she was in tears, and she said, "Yes." I go, "Wait a minute, you know about this, and you didn't tell me?" And her reasoning for not telling me was that she didn't want to violate my son's trust, because my son begged her not to tell me. So I'm devastated, and I said, I have family members that are in law enforcement, which is my son's uncle, and they want to make an arrest, but my son feels guilty. He doesn't want to get involved. He doesn't want to give any statement to the police, which is my family member officers. And my wife has not confronted her brother about what's taking place. And this gentleman, which is her brother, which is my brother-in-law, has been coming by my house all these years and been entertaining me, and now I come to find out he's been molesting my son from the age from 6 to 14. And my wife hasn't confronted him because she's saying that she's waiting for my son getting the necessary healing that he needs to get. And when my son, which is our son, gets the healing, then at that time she would confront her brother. And I'm just at a loss. I've been going to counseling. My son was going to counseling. He stopped. He began to start drinking. He got a DUI in 2018 at the time. Now come to find out this is the reason why he got the DUI. And I just recently, as the last couple of months, been dealing with this here. We go to separate churches now. We're Christians. And I told my wife, it's the enemy's job, divide and conquer. I can't go through this marriage like this anymore. And I just recently said to her, I want out the marriage. I want a divorce. I can't believe I'm speaking those words because I didn't get married to get divorced. But I just can't. It's taking a toll. I moved out the bedroom. We live in the same house, but I live in the back room. She lives up front. And my son now is blaming me for now wanting a divorce.
So, Dave, this is like devastation on all levels. First of all, we are so sorry for just this, just everything that you've been going through. It's devastating. And there are so many things that need to be corrected, and you know that. It's so hard. I'm going to start. Sherry or Alice, you guys, what do you think?
Dave, has anybody reported this yet, especially with these counselors that you and your son have seen?
My I have two cousins in law enforcement. They pulled up my wife's brother's name. They have him down in the system. Now to come to find out that this gentleman, my wife's brother, this is not his first molestation after running background on him. And now going through counseling, I find out that my wife was molested at the age of 13 by her mother's boyfriend at the time, and to this day she never disclosed that information to her mom.
And that's surprising.
So Dave, I still don't understand if your son's molestation has been reported. I know he doesn't want to, but did the counselor, your counselor or his counselor, report his molestation?
No, my cousins are in law enforcement. They know about it. I'm being told that the only person can bring him to justice, to help bring my wife's brother to justice, is my son. He's got to give a statement to everything he encountered, what happened. But again, he doesn't want to get involved because he feels that, he being my son, that he's breaking up the family.
This is incredibly complex, and how difficult for you to know what to do and what you even can do. Would you clarify then what your question is for us with all these different things happening right now in your family?
My question is, since I've mentioned to my wife that I want a divorce, she's now saying to me that what happened to my faith and my belief in God and forgiveness and giving her another chance and regaining her trust again. So my question is, I know God, I know we serve a loving and a forgiving God, and I just want to know, by my wanting exiting out of this marriage, is this the right thing for me to do? I feel in my heart and my mind it is.
So let me tell you what I think is happening. First off, I am heartbroken over the betrayal that you're experiencing. Mm-hmm. Betrayal from this brother-in-law who has pranced himself around your home and never disclosed to you that he was molesting your son for almost a decade, 8 years. I am heartbroken over the betrayal that you feel with your wife because she kept the secret. She is also a victim of sexual molestation. And a lot of times when they have experienced sexual molestation, they have kept their secret for a long time. So she not only kept her secret from you about her own molest, but your son's. But this is where I think that you're in, I would say, some trauma, post-traumatic stress reactivity. That's what I would call it. Is I think because of the betrayal, you are moving outside of the marriage as a reactive move to move away from the hurt instead of addressing it. Your divorce from your wife, who was a victim, yet kept it from you, that was wrong. Mm-hmm. But your reactivity around that sexual abuse is causing you to divorce. Mm-hmm. And my concern is, you're going to give the uncle more power. Mm-hmm. I would rather you stay connected in your marriage right now, and I would rather that you and your wife and your son get into some good therapy. I would rather that you make the target the uncle instead of your marriage. Mm-hmm. It's displaced pain. You're kicking the wrong thing.
And it may be that your wife was incapable of handling it better than she did, that she may have actually done the best she could, even though she was wrong. She may have handled it the best she could. She needs to grow. She needs to change. But I hope you can see her in the pain and the brokenness of her attempts to handle this.
Yes.
You're the
yes.
strong, reasonable, responsible one. So why would you leave?
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. We are talking to Dave. And, you know, we say so many times that family is challenging at times, and this certainly is one of those major challenges. Dave, we were talking a little bit at the break, and, Sherry, you go ahead and start, and then we'll just keep
yeah,
going.
Yeah, so, Dave, it's like we want to step up and support you. I to be honest, I'm concerned
can I say something here?
Sure.
Can I say something? So, myself, you mentioned that for the three of us to get into counseling. So, myself, my wife, and my son, we went to counseling, and the three of us. And, like I say, it's the marriage is at a crossroad. Me and my wife were going to the same church for the past 15-plus years. In 2018, she took herself away from the church that we had been going to, walking together and hand-in-hand, and we were going to counseling. Then I come to find out that she joined another church, and I didn't want us to be separate apart because I know the enemy's job is divide and conquer. So I tried visiting the new church that she had found, but I've been in my church for the past 15-plus years, and I tried visiting the new church, and it's a nice church, nice pastor, and his wife. So she set up counseling, my wife, set up counseling with her pastor, her new pastor, and his wife. And
okay.
They sit out and they counsel.
So
hold
this
on,
is the
Dave.
Thing.
Hold on.
This is the thing. We hear you, and we are hurting for you. Right? This is a weapon of mass destruction aimed right at your family. And I'm calling you up, my friend. I will, after the show today, I will personally call you, and we will file a child abuse report. This is separate from the police department. This man has acted out on other children. He's a pedophile. I will personally call you to support you to make that report. Mm-hmm. He's not safe. And we want you to have an advocate that can expose this, irregardless of whether your wife is ready for that to happen or whether your son is ready for that to happen. It needs to be exposed to CPS. Right?
And Dave, they both need you to do for them what they are unable to do for themselves.
Yes.
It sounds like your wife may have patterns of secrecy in her life, not just what you first described to us, but there's even more patterns. So obviously there's a lot of deception, I believe, in your marriage. There's a lot of disconnect. But mm-hmm. from what we know, as hard as this is, I think divorce at this point would cause more harm to your family than do good. And that does not negate the pain, the betrayal, the lies. It does not negate all of that. But mm-hmm. Your family may need you now more than ever. I hate to say this, but I'll quickly add. I think about the biblical reasons for divorce, and their adultery and their abandonment. And so as you are a man of faith, I want you to consider whether God is asking you to stay and fight for your family or to leave. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Becky.
And you know, what I was thinking too, so many times when marriages get into crisis, whatever the reason is, divorce comes to the forefront. And then all the conversations begin to be about, should I stay or should I go? Should we divorce or should we not? And there's so much work that has to be done before the conversation of divorce even gets here. It's not like you get divorced and then your family evaporates. It's not like you're not going to have some interaction with your wife at some point in the future if you divorce.
Well, and let me say this. There's a lightning rod right now aimed at your son, because if you divorce right now because of the molest, guess who's going to feel like it's his fault you left his mom?
Right.
Him.
That's right.
You don't want to put more of a burden on him. He needs you to stand with him right now.
Right. Right. I agree totally.
She's not supporting me because she's not supporting me in this year, because she actually just said what you said. She said, so it's easy for you just to walk away. She said, what about our son? She
said, right.
I said, I'm here for him. I reach out to my son, I invite him to lunch. He tells me no. He doesn't respond to my text messages. He's 28 years of age now, and he's telling me that I never loved her, and she said that you don't want to fight for this marriage. And I said, why were you saying that? That's not true. You know, and so she's not helping the cause by telling me I never loved her. I'm not fighting for this marriage.
So, and Dave, here's the thing. I know, but here's the thing. Everybody is in pain. It's like you all got hit by a huge Mack truck, and you're all on the side of the highway, and you're all trying to offer each other help, and you can't get up yourselves. And so the way forward will be, the first step will be that there is a report made, just to clarify that, because one of the most powerful things in the lives of someone who's experienced sexual molestation is that somebody cared enough to make the report. And then the second thing will be to have firm boundaries around the brother-in-law. You know, that until that is all taken care of from a legal standpoint in your home or with your wife, you'll have those conversations. But you guys are all so lit right now. You need to have a counselor who's going to be able to work with you on that. You know, it's really when you keep saying that, you know, Satan has intended to, you know, destroy families, he sure does. And we participate sometimes. And, you know, sometimes it's out of our woundedness. And we want to encourage you, Dave, to continue to do the right fight and to not get confused by what the goal is. You know, New Life is here to help people find that help. And, you know, we want to do the right thing for the right reasons. And whenever there's confusion, it usually means that the enemy is around. And we just got to start sorting it out. And we just do one step at a time, and then we keep moving forward. And healing is the choice, and God can work within our choices as we move forward. We're going to keep taking your calls. Hold on, and we're going to be back.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life Live stay in the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you a set of four devotionals, 100 Days of Character, Peace, Prayer, and the newly released 100 Days of Healing. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops.
I did go to Take Your Life Back. That's been immensely helpful to me. That's why I continue to support the ministry, with the hope that not only am I helping my own situation, that I'm helping others as well.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. It's Becky Brown with Dr. Sherry Keffer and Dr. Alice Benton. You know, we were just talking to Dave in such a difficult situation. And I was thinking about, you know, how often we get chained in situations that we are immobilized. And, you know, that's one of the things that we talk about with the Finding Freedom Workshop, that there are things that are keeping you stuck. And sometimes it can be really horrific things, like what Dave was talking about, and you can't see a way out. And so many people are dealing with stuff that they just keep doing over and over again. They can't figure out what the next step is, and we can help you. If you want to come to Finding Freedom, we'll be in Orange County March 13th through 15th, and Steve and Chris Williams will be presenting, and then we have the breakout sessions. It could make all the difference in the world in your life. And right now, we're going to try and make a difference in Marie's life. She's calling us from Daytona, Florida, and listens to WTLN. Hi, Marie. How can we help you today?
Good afternoon. My husband and I have been married for almost 40 years, and we don't have any children. And, I mean, we've always went to church, always loved the Lord, always served the Lord. And about 2 months ago, I guess, 3 months ago, somewhere in there, I had found out that my husband had actually been talking to a lady without letting me know. I mean, it wasn't sexual, none of that stuff. He has been talking to her for over 2 years. Mm. And I didn't know, have a clue about any of it. And I found out, when I did, after I found out, he kind of got upset at me and said, well, he really didn't mind that I knowed, but he still just couldn't understand that biblically me, I considered it wrong what he was doing. And so that took place sometime the first of the year. And the lady hadn't talked to him, actually blocked him, because she actually called me and said there was nothing going on. It was just, you know, them talking. They was friends. Well, then I found out by looking at some stuff that I found out that he had actually was talking to another lady as just friends. And she supposedly was close to 70. He's not close to that, but anyway, and I guess that was supposed to make a difference. And he don't understand my feelings, how that it's hurt me, and that I guess I would just get over it and not have no. I don't understand. And I looked up emotional affair, and I don't know. He said he did call the lady, the second one, and when he called her, she hung up. Quick as he called her and said, he said, you know, my wife don't want me talking to you, and she hung up on him. And I told him then, I said, well, she knows what y'all were doing was wrong. I felt like in my heart that she knew it was wrong. She knew it was wrong. And the person knew it was wrong.
So, Marie, what is your question for us?
I mean, he says he won't do it and everything, and I, you know, he never laid his cell phone down. I never had access, and that was the thing I told him. And, you know, and of course, I never would go. That's not been a thing of mine, because I've trusted him all of our married life, and I never went, you know, in his billfold. But I told him, I've listened to y'all enough to know a lot of the stuff, and I asked him, you know, I told him that, I should be able to. You shouldn't be nothing hid, because I told him my purse that's in there in my phone, and at any time he can look at any of it.
Okay, so you're wondering how to correct this situation.
Well, how to correct it, but how do I do that full trust like I have always had? Because it's I felt like I had a big S on my back, saying that you know, everybody else, those people were the first one knew, and I mean, I've known them, and nobody ever said anything. And then they'd say, well, we thought you knew. And I'm like, then I'd catch them in a lie, and I'm like, no, you didn't. I mean, you didn't do that. I mean, they were actually church people, too.
Right. Well, Marie, you've got an expert in the room. Sherry, you want to speak to Marie's heart?
Yeah, so first off, I am very sad about your discoveries. And your question is an interesting one, because you're asking how you can trust him again like you used to. And
right.
What is it about you that wants to trust him so quickly when he's been untrustworthy with these emotional affairs? He's had emotional affairs. So what is it about you that wants to trust him?
I don't know.
Okay. Sometimes
I don't know. I don't understand it myself.
Okay.
And that's what he even asked me. He said, "Are you afraid I'm going to leave you?" And I said, "I don't even know. I don't even know.
But he did compromise your trust. He left you in his every conversation he had. He unplugged from you, right? From fidelity.
Right.
And he was having conversations with other women. That's why they hung up. You're absolutely right. But what about you wants to run into trust so quickly again? What are you trying to avoid?
I don't know.
Okay. I've been right where you are. And there is something called betrayal blindness. It's a term that was created by a woman by the name of Dr. Jennifer Freid. And her tagline is, while we're fooling ourselves, we're not being fooled. We go there. I went there. I went into to denial. I wanted to believe that this would go away really fast and that there wasn't a problem. But you know what? When I went away and I went into denial and I stopped looking, it continued. I want you to...
I'm afraid now that he won't use his cell phone to call him, that he'll use another phone.
Well, and you know what? He could do that very simply. You know, when men come to every man's battle, you know what they are told here? They need to let go of every phone, email, password. Their wife has access to all of that. It is a big game changer for them to have to face their infidelities. And he needs to have that spoken with him, with other men that have also betrayed their wives.
And you know, Marie, one of the things that we tell women all the time when they're in this situation, that you can make a bold move and you can say to him, this isn't okay with me and it's not going to continue. This has nothing to do with your trust in him at this point. This is really about reorganizing how the future of this relationship is going to go. And you can say, you need to go to every man's battle. There's going to be one in Dallas this weekend. You need to get on a plane and go there and, you know, and just make those requirements. And as you watch him respond positively, hopefully, then you can talk about how do we rebuild trust and what does the future look like for us. Right now, I feel your heart. I can sense, I mean, your world's been rocked and you feel not only betrayed by your husband, but other people who knew this was happening and didn't share this with you. And it's heartbreaking.
And they were church people.
Yeah,
people,
I know.
It's the worst kind.
But this was the thing. I mean, when I finally started looking on the log calls, that's when I found it.
Good for you.
But when I started looking on there, what hurt me, I guess, more than anything is, you know, he told those women he couldn't talk to me about certain things.
But you know what that is? Let me tell you what that is. That's blame. That's blame. That's him not owning what he did. Okay, so hey, we're going to tell you the truth here. That's what we do at New Life. We love you. And so he needs...
But the other thing of it was, you know, even the dates while he was at work, I mean, he would call me and talk like 3 minutes to me, but he would, on their calls, he would talk to both of them like 24 minutes.
I know. We're sad.
When I asked.
That's right, Marie. It's heartbreaking.
We can hear the fear in your voice, too, because you're starting to open your eyes up to the fact that your husband is not who he presented himself as, and he's not who you thought him to be. That calls into question so much, and he's doing a lot of minimizing and justifying and shifting the blame over to you. So, of course it's scary because you don't know what's going to happen, and I think you want to fix it. You want it to just go back to the way it seemed to be before. But it's taking these risks that will give you the best chance of being protected and having the possibility of healing in your marriage going forward.
So, we're gonna,
so I have a book called Intimate Deception, Healing the Wounds of Sexual Betrayal. And I want you, we're going to send it to you, but I want you to also consider coming to Restore. Because when a woman is able to get information about what it takes to stop this craziness in her home, she becomes a warrior. And she becomes a woman who is fighting for what's right, for truth, and for safety.
It's worth it.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. I'm Becky Brown, and I'm joined by Alice Benton and Sherry Kepper and my boss, president of New Life, Larry Sonnenberg, is in the studio. Larry, how
Thank
are you,
you
today?
I'm doing good. You know, I wanted to just comment on Marie's call because I was sitting here waiting. And, you know, so often guys think it's just an emotional affair, or it's not even, they don't even use those words. I'm just talking to this lady. I'm not doing anything. And they don't have any sense of the pain that that causes their wife and how really that is being unfaithful, because they should be having those discussions with their wives. And every man's battle is really good for that. If he would come to every man's battle, it would make all the difference in the world. And her coming to Restore is a great idea, Sherry.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Anyway, I want to just encourage giving. I just want to remind you folks that we are a 501c3. We depend upon donations. Without donations, we don't exist. And so it's really important. And Club New Life is what I'm really striving for right now, because if we can get Club New Life growing, it will make all the difference in the world, and it will mean less appeals for money less often. And we had a great thank you gift. We've talked about that. It's the Restore, the Life Recovery Bible, and five different study workbooks and a journal, Life Recovery Journal. For $30 a month, you commit to that, and we'll send that to you.
That's an amazing gift.
It is. And if you're a current giver, $10, increase your giving by $10 as a Club New Life member. We'll send that to you as well. And just lastly, just listening to the radio program is why we need your support. If you hear the hurt and the pain and the changes that will happen because of radio, you're going to want to give. But because Finding Freedom is coming up, one testimony, then I'll let you go. This was from a man at one of the last workshops. He said, "I've been trapped in a cycle of shame. It had gotten so bad that it started affecting my family life. I felt so lost that I started giving up on everything. It felt better to be numb than to feel what I was feeling." So I just want to pause there and say, if you're feeling that, think about this, because here's what he said about the workshop. "This weekend has been an eye-opener. I discovered that I have never grieved. To be around a group of men going through similar problems and being able to open up and feel safe and not judged was amazing. I'm leaving the workshop with hope. I'm leaving with a plan to work on my relationship with God and a plan to start the grieving process so that I can let go. I'm leaving with the tools that I need to take my life back." So, folks, help us, support us with a gift, one-time gift. We got a great, great thank you gift as well. It's 8 different videos by Steve, Alice, Becky, and Chris Williams. And I want to hang up so you guys, or get off so you guys can take another call.
We are so thankful that you're helping us raise money to keep doing the work that we're doing, because of the calls that we've had today and the ones that we've had on other days. People need help, and that's why New Life is here. We've been here for 32 years, hope to be for 32 more, and we can do it with the help of all of our great donors and our Club New Life members. We thank you so much. Right now we're going to talk to Pam, who's calling us from Cary, North Carolina. She listens on Sirius XM. Thanks for calling, Pam. How can we help you today?
Okay, so let me preface this by saying I am divorced, which has an impact on this. My oldest daughter, at 4 years old, we realized she had a problem because we had moved from one town to another, and she was going through separation anxiety and so forth. And she has maintained a very close relationship with her dad through all the years, and yet I was the stabilizer in the home because he went from job to job, from location to location, but we stayed in one place. And the separation anxiety was because she was moved away from her grandmother, to whom she was very close. And over the years, she was very close to Christ. She was born and raised in a Christian family, but she had a son 17 years ago and went through severe postpartum depression. And from that, she had a lot of issues. She became a drug addict. She went away from the Lord and now doesn't want any part of him and has been diagnosed as being bipolar. And through all this, even though she's bipolar, she maintains a relationship with her father. She has totally and completely ruled me out of her life. And the only time she will contact me is if she needs something. Something happened in October of 2017. She and I were having a conversation. I don't know what I said or what I did, but it triggered something in her. And I didn't hear again from her until April of 2019 because she needed some help with her son. And after that was over with, she completely cut off communications with me. Won't allow me in her life. She doesn't communicate with me on birthdays, Mother's Day, Christmas, nothing.
All right, Pam, we want to answer your question. We're going to run out of time. So are you wondering how to stay connected with her when she doesn't want to connect with you?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I don't want to interfere with her and make her more angry with me. So how do I rebuild a relationship with her?
One step at a time. I would say, are you guys living near each other? Like what kind of interaction would you typically have? Just phone calls?
I live a mile and a half from her.
Okay. All right.
And Pam, how old is your grandson?
He's 17 and she's 41. And in fact, when I saw him the last time, which was in June, he told me point blank, he says, well, Mama hates you. And I don't know what I did through her lifetime to make her hate me, but...
So Pam, I think you need to find out. And you might start with that 2017 conversation of, I don't know what I said or did, but I want to find out. Daughter, is there any way you would tell me what's gone wrong between us? And you might even hate me. I believe you might hate me. And I need and I want to find out why. She may or may not answer that question, but by asking it, you're extending grace to her. And I hear that she might be taking advantage of the relationship, what exists, because she only reaches out to you when she needs help. But if you are willing to help and you can help without enabling addictive behavior or unhealthy behavior, it's a link you might want to maintain so you can have some form of interaction with her. You might even proactively offer her help, again, if it does not add to her unhealthy behavior. But to do that, to build a little bit of a foundation to then be able to ask the question, what happened between us?
Sherry, do you want to add anything?
I think you did a great job. And I just want to have compassion around bipolar disorder. The erratic part of that, you know, people go into low lows and they go into high highs at times. And it can be so confusing for family members because you feel like it's you, but it's really more about her brain and how
it's not functioning
well. I'll send
her a copy of my book, Understanding and Loving a Person with Bipolar Disorder. You're absolutely right, Sherry, that sometimes, you know, we look for a diagnosis in order to understand the erratic behavior. And we need to look for ways to connect in a safe and healthy way. I love what you're suggesting, Alice. And it may be, Pam, that you have to do this. Like, I don't know, the last time that your daughter connected with you, was it a phone call, text, email? How does that usually work? Well, whatever way it is, it may be, Pam, that you send her an email with the questions that Alice is talking about. However you can connect with her, that's what's going to make the difference. Thanks for calling today, everybody. And thanks, Sherry and Alice, for all the great work that you do. And thanks, listeners, for being part of New Life.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you.
but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.